Hello and welcome to the Diz Dads Podcast Midweek Destinations and Diversions Show. It's the Dad Show, your hump day Disney vacation fix for Wednesday, June 3rd, 2015. The show is brought to you by Kingdom Strollers. Kingdom Strollers is Orlando's premium stroller and crib rental vendor. Why pay more for a less comfortable, less versatile stroller in the theme parks? Make your reservation at KingdomStrollers.com. You'll pay less for the rental, and they'll deliver the stroller of your choice to your resort and pick it up from the resort at the end of your vacation for free. Kingdom Strollers, your first choice for Orlando stroller rentals and an authorized Walt Disney World stroller vendor. Today on the podcast, we're following up with David Nicely and his family about their Walt Disney World vacation that we previewed a few weeks ago. Welcome back to the show, David.
Great. Thanks for having me, Aaron.
So, we talked a couple of weeks ago. We had a bit of a surprise for you.
Just a little.
And we did talk through sort of what your plans for the trip, you know, morphed into a little bit, but we thought this would be a nice opportunity to, you know, catch back up with you after the fact and see how everything went.
Yeah, no, it's this will be great. We're looking forward to talking about it and reliving some of the memories.
All right.
My name is Olivia, and my first thing that I had fun with was Jedi Academy.
My name is Simon, and I like drive with bosses.
My name is Kate, and one of my favorite things was Twin Battle on Buzz Lightyear Space Ranger Spin.
My name is Sarah, and then I like Star Wars Ride.
My name is Thomas, and I like ask Drizella to marry me.
My name is Maria, and I like meeting my Cinderella.
So, you know, one of the first things that I think happened, you know, changed relatively late in the planning for your trip here was that you ended up departing from home a little bit earlier than originally planned because you kind of had an extra recovery day, I guess would be a good way to put it, available to you when you arrived at Walt Disney World. So talk to us a little bit about what it was like, you know, driving from, Indiana to Orlando with eight people in the van.
Yeah, so we got the chance to leave Thursday after I got off of work, got everything all packed up. Everyone was really, really excited. It was a long drive. There was quite a bit of traffic, but the kids, for the most part, did really, really well. We stopped frequently. We stopped on site at a rest stop to eat dinner, and we got everyone to get out and do some running around and use restrooms and even through the night when we would have to the stop. But they did really, really well. I was very impressed with them because it was taking a lot longer than we had kind of told them, because we actually hit some standstill traffic, not only in Indiana but also in Georgia, where we literally just sat still for like an hour and a half.
Ouch.
So by the time early morning came, we were not in Florida. We were just in southern Georgia. So those last 3 hours, once we crossed the border from Florida and we actually hit the Florida Welcome Center until we hit Saratoga Springs, they did much better than what Dad did, because I was way over anxious to get there.
So any particular, you know, strategies that you would share? I mean, for frequent stops obviously is one of them, but any particular, you know, tips you would share with other dads who were looking at doing this longer drive? Because what is it, about 20 hours drive? Or it can't be that long, about 18 hours?
It's supposed to be 15.
Okay.
Turned into about close to 18 for us, just because of we lost an hour in Indiana, and then, like I said, a couple hours in Georgia.
Right.
Well, I will say this, driving through the night, I think, helped with a lot of boredom because they kind of slept in shifts. And we probably had about a good 4 or 5 hour stint where everyone was asleep. And I know that My nemesis, Norm Hayden, that's something he's always kind of mentioned to me, that driving through the night was a whole lot easier. We did a lot of bag snacks where Kim had, a couple days before, packed like Cheez-Its, had packed trail mix, and having those little snacks along the way also helped fight boredom. So that was a big help to keep the hunger from being a driving force.
Great suggestions. And I have to ask, you know, sounded like you were doing the majority of the driving itself. You know, how do you handle 15 hours straight through the night of driving?
I did have a little break in the middle of the night, 5 hour energy and, some no dos, at the beginning of the trip to help me. And I probably went to like 2 o'clock, and then Kim drove through till about five in the morning. And then I took over the rest of the way. So
okay, so you did get a break there in the middle a little bit at least. And were you able to get any sleep during your 3 hour break?
Yeah, yeah. No, okay. I have a gift for sleeping anywhere, so it worked out really well.
Okay. So you arrived at Saratoga Springs a little bit later than originally planned, but then again, you didn't have any, you know, plans for the day on purpose.
Yep.
So, you know, talk about what you did about sort of using that recovery day. How did you use that to your best advantage? Or did
sure. Yeah, I think we did. I really think we did. One is we got... as we were getting into Orlando, we got the text message that our room was ready at Saratoga. I had called once we had hit about Gainesville to see if, you know, we could get a room ready, and they said they would certainly try our best. So by the time that we arrived around 11:30 that morning, I think between 11:30, the room was already ready. And the first thing I had to say is that I was really impressed with Saratoga Springs. I wasn't sure what to expect. I'd never been on that property before, but it was beautiful. So we checked in and showed the kids around the lobby, because this is kind of their first taste to Disney magic, you know, a little bit in terms of the surroundings.
Sure.
So we checked out the pool. We walked around a little bit. We walked into Artist Palette. And they saw a little bit of that. And then we went into our room. Everyone got everything unpacked, and we got our swimsuits on, and we went to the pool. And so it was kind of nice with all the lifeguards there on duty and life jackets available for everyone. Kim and I could kind of relax a little bit, or that was the plan, to relax a little bit, let the kids play in the pool. But there was a really big water slide, and as any good father would do, I had to test it 20 or 30 times.
Right, you had to make sure it worked properly.
Absolutely. So I ended up doing a little bit more exertion, but Kim got some rest, and we played in the pool for probably about 3.5-4 hours.
Wow.
And just really, really enjoyed it. And then we pried the kids loose from that. And by that time, everyone was hungry, so we got showered and changed and then headed to Downtown Disney.
Okay. So, you know, you were, you know, in Downtown Disney for the evening. I assume you were headed there for dinner. So
yes.
What was the dining plan?
Well, what our plan was to go to Earl's Sandwich. We did take the shuttle boats over, which is really... you know, again, one of those little extra Disney things for the kids, you know, to get on a boat and take over there. And, a little Disney magic. We saw a huge osprey come down and catch a rather large fish out of the water. And I think the kids thought it was cued because they're like, that's really cool. When's that going to happen again?
Waiting for that loop to come back around, huh?
Exactly. Now, what we didn't quite understand, maybe it was said by the captain. I didn't quite get it, but they dropped us off with the west side. And so in my infinite wisdom and over-anxiousness, I thought that it wasn't that far of a walk. And so we underestimated that, but we almost stopped at the food trucks.
Right.
That were right there. But Downtown Disney was extremely busy that night. And so all the lines were a little bit long at the food truck. So anyway, we walked over to Earl's Sandwich, got the corner booth. So all 8 of us could fit in there well, and everyone got a sandwich, and they loved it. It was a huge hit with the kids.
That's great. And, you know, that's one of the things I think maybe that you don't – most of us who don't normally travel with 8 – don't often think of, but it is a little tricky in downtown Disney to find, you know, places where you can seat eight together readily. You've got those booths at Earl of Sandwich, but, you know, for example, at the food trucks, you know, there isn't much seating area over there. You know, you could find a chunk of concrete to pull up, but, you know, not a lot of table space.
No, and there weren't any benches either, so that's what kind of led me, like, we just got to keep walking.
Right.
Because there just wasn't any place, you know, kind of doing a quick look. There was maybe, like, one bench, and it had one person on it, so we could get maybe two more on there, and the rest of us were going to even sitting. And then even pulling up concrete, there wasn't a lot of ledge space, whereas when we were over on the side of Earl of Sandwich, there are a couple of those areas where they have like the brick squares with the landscaping in the middle,
right,
where you get, where a raise, where you get every, that was my second, my plan B, if we couldn't get a place inside to eat in downtown Disney, was to eat around one of those ledges.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And those do give you a little bit more comfortable, you know, way to sit and eat outside, even when there's not a table.
Exactly. Yeah.
All right. And so, you know, I assume that was really the primary purpose. Did you do anything else while you were in downtown Disney other than eat dinner? Because you did mention it was so crowded.
Yeah, we did go into World of Disney.
Oh, okay.
The kids were excited to get spit on by Stitch.
Okay.
So they thought that was kind of cool. And the first when they walked in the store, the amazement of being in a store like that was really kind of... they were just like, this is so awesome. And so we walked around and we looked at a couple of things. You know, didn't spend a whole lot of time in there. But we looked at different things. We did tried on some silly hats. And then we did go over to the Lego store. Promised the boys that we'd go over there. And they were, Simon was especially amazed at the Hulk Lego statue they had in there and the Indiana Jones. And so he thought those were pretty cool. But again, it was very busy, so everything was kind of just looking. And it doesn't look a whole lot different than our Lego store, but obviously with the statues that they have in there. So
right.
After that, we kind of just skirted around a little bit over to the bus stop because this was going to be the first time that the kids were going to be on a bus, and we weren't going to walk back to the boats.
I have to ask because I was a little amused that one of the boys' comments was that one of his favorite things was riding the Disney buses.
Simon absolutely loved it, Aaron. He was so excited about it. He is a kind of a car freak,
okay,
fanatic, I should say. And so when we get over to the bus stops, now when we were at Saratoga Springs, we saw a couple buses. The route that brought us in, real quick to back up a little bit, the route that brought us into Disney property brought us right by downtown Disney. We literally turned in there, we're in Saratoga. So it wasn't the normal of seeing, like, you know, the cruise line bus and all these other things.
Right, because you kind of come in the back way there almost.
Yeah. So when we got over to the bus stop area and all of a sudden all these buses started pulling in, Simon was like, these are cool. And they had a couple of the new ones with the new designs. And then we got on our bus and he was very excited about it and thought it was just really cool how it kind of picked us up. And he's been on public transportation in Poland before, but it never said Disney on the side.
Of course.
And as we were leaving, the Avengers bus pulls right beside us and you know, the whole wrap for Age of Ultron. And he was like, that is so cool. And so they kept track and we saw that bus like seven or eight times over the course of the week.
Very cool. Okay, so that was Saratoga. Now, how did you handle the transition? Because this was a little tricky, it seemed to me as well. And I remember you posting trying to figure out the best way to do this because the next day you were transitioning from, you know, Saratoga Springs, where you basically were there for a day, you're going to sleep and then move over to Animal Kingdom Lodge. And so you needed to manage that. And I think, did you end up having park plans for that day as well?
We did. Yeah. The next day we were going to Magic Kingdom. So, once we get back to Saratoga, I had went down to, first thing, we had a very nice surprise from the Disney uncles. We received some wonderful gift bags, with apples and Rice Krispie treats and cookies. And the kids were over the moon excited. And there was enough for each of them to have a bag. And so that means they got their own treats from that. So, the Disney uncles came through, even more. I went down to the lobby and kind of talked to concierge about what the best way to handle it was, and we worked through a couple different scenarios. So I said, well, what if I get up early in the morning and drove over to Kidani and took the bus? And the guy was like, that would not be my suggestion. By the time you even remotely got over there, you're never going to make the park opening.
Right, and you wanted to be there for the welcome show.
Right. And then I said, well, what if I drove to Magic Kingdom? He's like, well, that's not exactly a great idea either. He said, you know, it's just going to be rough. He said, what I would suggest you do, he said, you can leave your van here for 24 hours. We'll schedule the luggage pickup, which is what we did. They were at our room at 7 a.m. The next morning, they picked up all of our luggage, took it to Kidani, and we were on the bus by 7:15 to Magic Kingdom for 8 o'clock opening.
Cool.
And then we left the van there, and then when we took our app before we get into that, we took an afternoon break, and I rode back to Saratoga, and then drove the van to Kidani.
I see. So you just met back up with them basically at the afternoon break time.
That's correct.
Okay, that's probably yeah, it makes a lot of sense.
And it worked out. It worked out really easily, really well. The room was already ready at Kidani. We'd gotten a text, so it was it worked out great. And plus, I got to drive behind some of those roads I've never been before, and you know, feel like I actually drove by the entrance to Golden Oaks.
Checking out your future home as well.
Exactly.
Okay, so first park day is Magic Kingdom. You were on a bus headed there at 7:15 for an 8 o'clock opening. Did you get everybody there in position for the welcome show?
We did. We did. And they were very super excited. Now, what we did was we kind of held out in the back a little bit. So after all the show had ended, we hung out there for just a little bit to get some photos taken, photo pass at the front of the park. And plus, uh-huh. I wanted the majority of the crowd to get through before we went in and saw the castle for the first time.
Okay.
With a couple of little ones, I was worried that we would get ran over as we tried to stop.
Makes sense.
So once we went through there, everyone's super excited. Of course, I'm not sure that they thought that was it. You know, and then we kind of walked through, and they're seeing the buildings, and they're seeing the balloons, and we came in on the left side, and we kind of hooked it a little bit wide because I didn't want anybody to get a sneak peek yet. And then we got right there in Main Street, and everyone, with the exception of Maria, saw the castle for the first time. Unfortunately, the guy selling balloons had squatted down to give one to a little girl.
Uh-huh.
And so the big pile of balloons was in front of Maria for just a moment.
Oh, no.
But then she did get to see it, and they were just amazed. And the closer and closer we got to it, it was just, their eyes were huge, and they were bouncing. I mean, they couldn't contain their energy. And, you know, Maria was just jumping up and down saying it was amazing. I really do think they didn't think it was real. That they just thought it was like a picture.
Right, like a painted backdrop.
Yeah, and so for them to walk down Main Street and the smells and the sound and people, you know, the cast members waving with the big Mickey gloves. I mean, the kids were just, I had Maria's hand and she was squeezing it so tight. And if I could have bottled that energy, you know, we could have found an alternative fuel source for years. But all the kids were super, super excited. And so it was like we were really there. We were finally there. And we were heading off to experience Magic Kingdom.
Very cool. So I don't want to have us, you know, go step by step through your day, but rather I'd kind of like to focus on, you know, anything that stands out, highlights or you know, challenges that presented themselves during this day. And one, you know, initial question is, obviously the possibility of going to the Magic Kingdom came up really late. And so you didn't have a 60-day advance FastPass Plus reservation window. So what did you come up with? Did you have a plan for Magic Kingdom? Were there a couple of things in particular that you wanted to make sure you got done, and how did it go?
I will say that Magic Kingdom, of all the days we had, actually went the best.
Okay.
So we had a little bit of a plan. What I wanted to do was do some things that we hadn't done before, and then hit some things that are just kind of family favorites. So the first, the fast passes I had gotten were to meet Ariel, because my daughters, even my daughters or my wife, I had never met Ariel before.
Okay.
So that was on a fast pass, and then we had fast passes for later on in the afternoon for Splash Mountain and Big Thunder Mountain.
Okay.
So we went over to New Fantasyland first, and as soon as we got over there, I saw the line for Seven Dwarfs Mine Ride getting really long. So we just went ahead and jumped into that. Now, that was sort of my coin flip for the day.
Okay.
I wasn't sure if we were going to do that or not, just because I knew everyone would go over there.
Yeah, and it does, you know, that line builds fast. So I'm glad. Let me put this a different way, I guess. I'm not cursing you, but I'm glad you volunteered to be our guinea pig to see how that works when you go ahead and just show up first thing and head to Mine Train.
Yeah, and it was about a 40-minute wait. But we got through in about a half an hour.
Okay. So it was about 10 minutes faster than posted.
Yes. And as we stood in line there, I checked over to see what the wait time for Anna and Elsa was. And it was already at 90 minutes. Okay. So that's where we did the coin flip and realized that that line was only going to grow. Both lines were only going to get bigger. So let's go with what's in front of us. So we did Seven Dwarfs Mine Ride. Great queue. I kept the kids engaged. The kids like it now, not so much right after we got off the ride, as the video showed that I posted. Some of them were a little scared, but most of all, they all liked it. The queue was great, though. I thought it was fantastic. We just explored around Fantasyland. The first character really that the kids met was Ariel. They thought it was great. Fast Pass was awesome in there. We literally walked up. There was nobody else in line. We walked right into there. We had a good probably 10 minutes with her. And she was very engaging, and the kids really enjoyed it. Then we also met – oh, go ahead.
Well, no, I'm just a little confused because you mentioned you jumped into the standby for Anna and Elsa.
No, I'm sorry. That was our coin flip.
Oh, one or the other.
Correct.
I get it. Okay.
Yeah.
So the first character meet was Ariel. Okay, yes. Now I get it.
Yeah.
I'm caught up.
Okay. And then so we were just walking around Fantasyland. You know, we did all the different stuff in there. And we went over and we literally walked right in to see Minnie, Daisy, and Goofy and Donald. So we hit four of the classic characters right off the bat there. And again, the kids are super excited. And it's getting close to lunch at that point. So we start heading over to Columbia Harbor House. And of course, it's no visit to Magic Kingdom without riding Small World. And I'm happy to report that all of my children love Small World and could have ridden it at least two or three more times.
Lucky you.
And it was very warm that day, so the air conditioning was great. But then we went to lunch at Columbia Harbor House.
So how did Harbor House go? I know that we had talked about that a little bit leading up to it. And it sounded like that was going to be a good choice for you guys. Did it work out well?
It worked out great. We got I sent Kim and four of the kids up to upstairs to reserve a table, and someone was up there and allowed them to put a couple tables together. And so we sat right on the upstairs in the overlook to Magic Kingdom, and it worked out great. And, of course, they're always very accommodating to help you carry your trays.
Sure.
Up to your table. So it worked out great, and we had a good 45 minutes to kind of sit back and relax.
Excellent. Okay, so what were some other things about Magic Kingdom that you would call, you know, sort of highlights or particular challenges?
Sure. Well, we'll start with the highlights first. The highlights would definitely be we rode Splash Mountain before break and all the kids liked that. Dole Whips were a huge success. And another little plus there was that we actually set over by – with it being moved now over to the terrace near Tiki Room,
right?
There was the seating behind the Flying Carpets of Aladdin, where it's sort of that stone bench.
Yes.
We literally had all that area to ourselves when we got there because all the tables were all occupied, and I knew we would never get enough little tables anyway. So it was one of those little nice things where you just kind of look for that and jump on it. So we were all able to enjoy our Dole Whip sitting down without having to feel overly crowded.
That's terrific. And am I remembering correctly that they've moved the smoking area away from there as well?
Correct. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And that makes a big difference. It's much more pleasant over there now.
Absolutely. The other real big benefit is that we didn't plan on it, but as we were getting done with the Dole Whips and we did a few other things in Adventureland, we headed over to Tomorrowland. Now, the challenge here was getting through the hub when people were already getting in line or getting their spots for Wishes. And this is a good hour, at least an hour before it's going to start.
Right, right.
So it was getting to be extremely crowded. So the challenge of trying to move eight through, and this is sort of the first time that we had done it, and we kind of developed a little system where I walk with one in the front, we have two groups of two behind me, and then Kim and one falls right behind in pretty tight formation.
little phalanx there.
Exactly. So we're kind of like our own little platoon charging something. No one got in the way. You know, we just kind of ran through. I was going to sick the five-year-old on them. Wouldn't have a shot between her and having fun. So we get over to Tomorrowland, and we do Buzz Lightyear Space Ranger Spin, and we come out, and all of a sudden, we see that there's the Incredibles dance party. And we hadn't planned on it, and we were actually thinking about heading back to the room. But some of the kids went over and did that. And then we knocked out a few other little things in there, and we came back, and the dance party was still going on. And so the kids got to dance with Mr. and Mrs. Incredible and Frozone, and they had a blast. So that was an absolute success. And then another nice thing is that as we were leaving, they escorted us behind Main Street to get out, which I hadn't had to do that before.
I love that new back path.
Yeah, it was awesome. Of course, I geeked out seeing behind the buildings. But it made it so much easier. And then as we got to the exit, or you know, as we're leaving Magic Kingdom, the show that precedes Wishes was just to the point where it was the Frozen part. So the kids got to see a little bit of that. And then we got out of Magic Kingdom. We caught a bus immediately and went right back to Kidani. So it was Magic Kingdom was a huge success.
All right. And that was obviously a really big day. So did you plan to hit a park again the next day, or were you going to kind of, you know, use that day as a bit of a recovery day?
That was a recovery day, and it was also the twins' birthday. So we just they made their own they made their birthday cakes that day. We kind of hung around the resort, played in the pool, did the pool activities, walked over to Jamba House for a little bit. It was just a really nice, super relaxing day.
So what of the resort activities that you tried were the big favorites among the group?
The mini cake decorating, the learning about the animals. We did how flamingos eat. And then we also did an animal tracking exercise where they actually got to carry around the little tracking device, and they had hidden a Simba somewhere, and they had to go and try to find that. So those were huge. Cool. And then the pool party every day. Which was about 3 to 4 hours long. The activities staff there at Kidani was great. They kept all the kids engaged, and even chair dancers got beads. So it was the parents were engaged, and as well as the kids.
Very cool. Okay, so that was the birthday celebration day and the resort day. Where were you headed next?
Monday was Epcot Day, and we were really excited. Epcot's a big favorite park for us as a family, so we got there before opening, and true to what I had been advised, they opened about 10 minutes early, which was great, and we didn't have Soarin' Fast Passes, so we head over and did Soarin'. And then after Soarin', we kind of hung around a little bit before we were able to get Fast Passes for Mission Space and Test Track before we had left. So,
oh, nice.
So we were able to knock those out. Now, one of the challenges that we ran into over there was as we were heading out to or over into that area, I noticed the crowds getting a little bit more in this. I should say not the crowds. I saw more tour groups. So I started to get a little bit of a red flag that we were going to have a little bit of an issue, but it didn't cause any issue at that point. So after Test Track and Mission Space, which everyone liked, we went over and did a Distad request of having the kids try Beverly for the first time.
And how did the Beverly tasting go?
Well, it couldn't have went any better than I hoped, from the fact that, you know, I thought that we wouldn't get honest answers out of a couple of them because I thought they might be afraid to say that they didn't like it.
Oh, okay.
But of course, my son Simon takes a big drink, and then he's like, "This is gross." And, and we watch that video all the time, and he's like, "I almost got sick." He said, "That was horrible." But other than that,
blame that on his uncles?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And, of course, you know, Kate and Olivia were like, we're not trying this again. We've tried it one time before. It's not happening.
Well, to me, that was the best part of the video, is that you can see Kate and Olivia in the background with this look on their faces like, oh, no, no way.
Yeah, we're not doing this. And then the nice thing is that afterwards we went over and tried all the different flavors, and, you know, everyone got their favorite, mine being Fanta Pineapple, and everyone finding something. We just drank a ton. So, you know, it was free drinks. It was hot. So it was great. So we get finished there, and I made a mistake here, and I tried to do a little too much in that we really wanted the kids to meet Mary Poppins, and we didn't make it over there in time. And so we kind of wasted a little bit of time to try to catch her. And we realized that they were actually shortening the character times because of how warm it was. This was the warmest day of the week.
Oh, yeah. And some of those Epcot meet and greets are really difficult because you don't appreciate, you know, the expanses of concrete between countries and the drain that can have, especially on the younger kids when you're trying to catch those. Because the problem is, if you miss Mary Poppins and you think, well, we're already out here in World Showcase, maybe we'll just catch the next one down. And boy, pretty soon, you know, you've put an extra, big chunk of miles basically on kid feet, and without any payoff for them.
Exactly. Yeah. So we missed that, and we just decided to go ahead and hoof it from England over to Germany.
There you go. Exactly what I'm talking about.
So there was my mistake, because we had a 130 ADR beer garden.
Right. Which one of the kids mentioned was a favorite.
It was. Yeah. My daughter Kate absolutely loved it. We had never been there before. We didn't know what to expect. And so we got there. We checked in about 15 minutes early. We had to wait right at about 15 minutes, but the kids were all... if you hear any stories about kids' faces implanted on the glass from looking at the food where we were hanging out by the stroller aisle, my kids were just glued to it. They couldn't wait to get inside. We got in. The food was awesome. We saw the show, which the kids really liked, and we put a really big herding on that buffet. And they treated us great, and we had our own table, so it was really nice.
And I assume, you know, some familiar food, you know, types and flavors for the Polish kids.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And it was real funny. One of my sons was like, I said, how's the kielbasa? And he's like, eh, it's okay.
Not quite authentic, but, you know, it'll do.
Right, exactly. The sauerkraut wasn't quite as sour as what they're used to.
Okay.
But no, other than that, the foods were, you know, very, very similar. And the fact that there was a wide variety of meats was huge, especially fish.
Right. Sure.
They're big fish lovers. So we loved Beer Garden. We took our time in there. We were probably there for a good hour. When we came out is when we realized that those tour groups that I had seen earlier were really starting to flood Epcot. On touring plans, it said Epcot was going to be a four that day. We were shoulder to shoulder within an hour of leaving Beer Garden with other people.
Wow.
It was extremely crowded. In Norway, there were people who were pushing people out of the way with strollers just to get to the KidCot area.
Weird. You know, I do have to wonder, because this is one of the blessings and curses of touring plans numbers. And we've talked about it, I think, a couple of times on shows before. But, you know, when touring plans reports a crowd level, they're assessing wait times at attractions.
Yeah.
And so sometimes, you know, it's going to feel substantially more crowded in a park than what you might expect based on a number that's assigned from touring plans, because, and I think those big tour groups are kind of a good example. You know, when a big mass of you know, 30 or 40, you know, from an organized tour group comes through, they're not going to have that much of an impact on overall wait times at attractions. I mean, you might get delayed if you're right behind them for a particular attraction, but most of the time they're not going to have much impact. On the other hand, as that group works its way through World Showcase, if you happen to get caught in the midst of them, you know, it's pretty tight.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's the thing that we started noticing as we worked our way back kind of around over to, we wanted to see the Japanese drummers and everything else. And I think the Flower and Garden had, you know, a lot to do with it. And that those kiosks were extremely packed.
Yeah. And again, that's something that's not going to get measured by touring plans, crowd levels, right? Because those aren't attraction wait times.
Right, exactly. We were going to snack from some of those, and we did do, you know, we got some treats over in Italy from one of theirs, but the one outside, the barbecue outside of the American Pavilion had a huge line. The one outside of Germany had a huge line. It was just really, really packed. So we still had a good time in the rest of the of Epcot. We got a chance to see the entertainment in Italy. Finally, after all the years of going, I saw the Japanese drummers, which I was really happy about. We still took the kids to the KidCot stations, which they really enjoyed, and having an interaction with the people from those different countries. We saw the acrobats in China. So we had a really, really good afternoon, but it was extremely warm. And so by the time we got done with France and we had tried out the new Boulangerie Patisserie, we decided that we were going to head back just a little bit early because everyone was exhausted and we had walked quite a few miles that day.
Sure, sure. Okay, so you didn't is this your midday break or your end of day at this
point? No, this is the end of the day. Okay. This is probably right around 7 o'clock. On the way out, we did hit Spaceship Earth because there was no line.
Yeah.
And it was like, you know, why not?
Right.
And the kids loved it. They thought it was really cool. So it was a chance for us to actually take a break. Kind of sit down for a little bit,
right.
with huffing and all. We did take a boat back from Morocco to the front because we didn't want to walk all that area again. Then we from there we called it a day.
All right. So no fireworks on Epcot Day, and I understand that. It makes a lot of sense because the kids were worn down. Everybody get a good night's sleep?
Yeah, that's one of the nice things is that usually by the time we got back to the resort, everyone was in bed no later than 9:30 and they were all out, completely exhausted. So it was a great way of getting them to kind of settle down, and they all did really well. And I think that Kim and I did a really good job of trying not to do this as overstimulating. You know, we walked by things that we knew that we would normally do, but that would just be too much, you know, especially toward the end of the day where you're trying to pack in a few extra things.
Right, right. Makes sense. So you've done a Magic Kingdom day and an Epcot day. You've had one rest day. Are you resting again, or are you going to try and hit a park again the next morning?
The next day on Tuesday was a rest day, but we had an ADR at 1900 Park Fair in the evening. So,
And we did see some interesting photos that you posted from 1900 Park Fair.
Yeah, it was really great. We had we've always liked that buffet, and so we think they have really good food. You know, Grand Floridian's probably a hotel we'd never stay in. Probably wouldn't be on our top choices, maybe. But we love 1900 Park Fair, so we got there early, took some pictures. Our ADR was like at 4:35 was the only one that we could get for a party of eight. But we had good food, and the kids got to meet the characters. Now, the first character that we met was Prince Charming, and the girls were pretty excited about that. The boys were like, yeah, this is great. And then Cinderella came over, and I thought Maria did squeal loud enough that I'm pretty sure everyone in the restaurant heard her. She was pretty darn excited to meet Cinderella, and we got some really great pictures of her just squeezing her and hugging her. And I wasn't sure if she was going to let go of Cinderella at one point, and I thought security might be called, but she did. And then the boys had seen some videos of people asking the characters or the stepsisters to marry them, and they both said they wanted to do it, but we forgot the rings at home.
Oh, no.
So Simon kind of backed out a little bit. He got a little bit nervous, but Anastasia was really nice with him, said, that's okay. I get that all the time. and then it was time for Drizella. And so what we did was we changed the story a little bit, and Thomas told Drizella that the ring was so big he couldn't fit it in his pocket.
Nice. Nice.
And she loved it. She was just like, and then she found out he was from Poland, that he's a Polish prince.
Oh, yes.
And just let everybody know that, you know, she's getting married, the stepmother approved, And not one kisses, not two kisses, but three kisses on the forehead. So he was covered in lipstick and was proud to display it throughout the Grand Floridian for the rest of the evening.
Excellent. Yeah, that picture of him with the three big bright red kiss marks on his forehead it was one of my favorite pictures that you posted.
Yeah, she was fantastic with him. He did great. And there's a great picture that we have of them together. Dizella's kind of hugging on him, and Simon's got this face like, dude, you have no idea what you got yourself into. so that brotherly support. So, and of course the kids, especially Thomas, there's a picture of him almost passed out on a couch. He ate his weight, and then some at the buffet. And this was the first buffet that I had ever heard them like, keep reminding us that it's okay for the kids not to eat off the kids area. I've always been a little hesitant about that, and they're just like, eat everything, go ahead, eat whatever you want. So he's right. Having salmon, he's having pork loin, he's having anything you can name it, a couple bowls of strawberry soup.
So we
certainly got our money's worth out of that. And then we had started, that was the night we were going to go to Top of the World with the Bentleys, but that was, we started to notice at that point that some of the kids were getting a little bit on the overwhelmed side.
Sure.
Once we finished dinner, so we spoke with Mrs. Bentley, and we had ended up passing on the fireworks, and everyone got to bed early that night, which worked out really well because the next day we were going to Universal.
Oh, that's right. So this is the Michael Williams stepped up, our former Universal cast member buddy, and Uncle Mike sent you off to Universal for a day.
We did, and I have to say it was a little easier to get there than what I anticipated in terms of driving over there. We left early enough where we didn't really hit any traffic. We did pay for the premium parking because I didn't know what to expect.
Sure.
And and I love those walkways, the automatic walkways that take you up there. The tickets right at will call. Just like you said, it went off all without a hitch. It was great.
Excellent. And what were some of the highlights of the Universal visit? I know that the primary focus was intended to be the Wizarding World area. How did that all go?
It went great. I would say that the first thing we did as we were walking by, Mike had given me some really great advice. And said, do the Minions if it's not a big ride. So we did that, and the kids loved it. But Harry Potter, the Wizarding World of Harry Potter, was a huge success. And I have to say that I didn't have the highest of hopes for it. I didn't really know what to expect. But I was just amazed at Diagon Alley, the detail, in the stores. We absolutely had a blast. Escape from Gringotts was great. We went into the Weasley store and bought some candy in there, and just all the details. Having read all the Harry Potter books, I was just amazed at the detail that they got into that. It was awesome.
So, what were the favorite elements among the kids? I know that it can get kind of overwhelming. Sensory overload. Talk about sensory overload.
Yeah.
Big time there. Were there particular elements that they got really excited about?
They did. They loved seeing the dragon breathe fire. They thought that was really awesome. The train ride over to Hogsmeade was something that they really liked. They thought that was kind of neat. Butterbeer and pumpkin juice were a huge hit. And then I took only two kids on some of the rides just because not all of them, having experience earlier in the trip, weren't real big on thrill rides.
Sure.
And anything that's a lot of motion, they were a little bit scared about. So for two of them, the ride over there, and I'm forgetting the name, I think is it Escape?
Oh, yeah, Escape from Gringotts.
No, not Escape from Gringotts, the other one.
Forbidden Journey.
Forbidden Journey, yes. That was it. That was probably our favorite.
Yeah. That's incredibly, it's very well themed and intense. So.
Yes.
So I assume you just had the two oldest that are a little more experienced with theme park.
I had one of the twins and then the oldest of our Polish kids.
Okay.
But I would say the big highlight for them going into the stores was the wand store.
Yeah.
There in Diagon Alley. The Weasley's store as well. just from having seen it in the movies. Those were really the two big highlights. Just seeing them kind of be come to life for the first time.
Sure.
And seeing all the different wands. So we definitely think that the next time, hopefully we can go back in a couple of years, they would like to get sorted and buy a wand and a robe at that time.
Ah, okay. Well, wand and robe, that's you know, a couple of years is probably a good time frame to save.
Exactly. Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah.
All right. Well, so, and how long of a day did you spend at Universal? Because I know that was always one of the hard parts. When you're not staying on Universal property, you know, it feels like it's kind of a challenge to spend your day in the park, especially when you've gotten used to taking a midday break. You know, it's I think a little harder to take a midday break, head back to a Disney resort, and then come back to Universal.
Yeah, we probably got done there probably mid afternoon, like around 3:30, 4 o'clock. That's when we called it a day. It was getting warm again, but the kids were just like, just had that look of exhaustion on their face.
Sure.
And I think it's one of those where, you know, it was in toward the end of the week. And it just didn't make any sense for us to leave and then come back.
Yeah.
So we headed back there and just, we spent a little bit more time, in the pool. We went over to the Mara food court, over at Jamba House,
right.
Got some food and brought it back. And just kind of relaxed and enjoyed the view of the animals from our balcony and went down to the fire pit that night and met a fantastic guide and did the night vision. And the kids really enjoyed it.
So what did you manage to see with the night vision goggles?
Well, at first we didn't see much because there'd been a storm right before then.
Oh, okay.
But we ended up seeing some Thompson's gazelles. We saw some of the Opaki, I think, or
Okapi.
Saw a few of those, and then saw some of the cranes.
Nice.
So it worked out really well. And we could see some of those from our room, too, but it was really cool at the night vision. And the guide we had was from South Africa, and he spent probably there wasn't a lot of people out there, so he spent a good hour with us and just talked to the kids about South Africa. Again, it's that engagement that we love so much about Disney.
Sure.
Where people take that time with you.
That's great. So you've done a couple of Disney parks, a Universal park. What's the next park activity you have up?
So Thursday was our last full day, and it was Hollywood Studios.
Okay. And what was the goal there at Hollywood Studios? What were you, you know, I mean, well, first of all, what did you do fast pass wise for the studios and how did it go?
Well, first we did fast passes, and I thought I had won the lottery. I got fast passes for Star Tours, Toy Story Mania, and the Frozen Sing-Along. And the Wednesday before we left, I received a notification that I couldn't have those.
Uh-oh.
And so the Toy Story Mania and the Frozen Sing-Along were taken away.
Really?
Yes. So all we had was Star Tours. They gave us Toy Story back, but it was at 8:30 at night.
Weird.
And I'd had it for 10:30 in the morning. And then the other thing was Voyage of the Little Mermaid, which is the other choice they gave me.
Did you ever get an explanation for what happened there?
I asked when in the middle of the day when we were at Hollywood Studios, I had asked over where they were doing the Fast Pass kiosk, and I spoke with somebody there, and I'd also spoke to somebody at Toy Story Mania, and they said they've been having a lot of problems with these online, that it's allowing more within an hour than what it's supposed to.
Oh, so they've mismatched the number of slots they're opening with the actual capacity of the attraction.
Yes. And we had already ridden Toy Story Mania. He offered me fast passes for anything else again.
Okay.
By no means was I complaining.
Right, right.
I was just kind of curious, but he was like, yeah, this has been happening. He said it's really been about a 3-week time period that it started like right at the beginning, right after like that first week of May. He said when they started having a lot of problems, and he said it looked like that they had gotten it figured out sometime about that, the last week of May, that they were still dealing with those time slots.
Wow. I wonder if, and I'm just randomly speculating here, but, you know, I'm wondering if as work began on that third track, they, you know, inadvertently did it, you know, went ahead and updated the FastPass distribution, and it was calculating in the availability of the extra track.
To be honest with you, I was shocked when I got it. you know, when I got like a 10:30 fast pass, I was like, wow, that seems odd. You know, I was expecting kind of later in the day.
Yeah.
And with the Frozen sing-along, he'd kind of explained that those lines, and we saw it firsthand, there were people out there waiting the hour before, like as soon as the show started, there would be people lining up for that next one.
Wow.
Who didn't have any tickets, and that, you know, it's again how popular it was. And he said, we just, the capacity for this thing, we just underestimated.
Yeah.
What it was going to be. So our plans were to get Jedi Academy when we got there. And again, at noon, that Hollywood Studios tends to open a little early. So I sent half to Toy Story Mania to get in line or to wait out by the front to text me information. And then we ran over to Jedi Academy. I had taken three of the kids with me. I knew only two were going to do it, but one of them wanted to go with me anyway. And we may have scared some small children running, having a fat man run that fast through Hollywood Studios. But we got over in line, and we were doing okay. I knew we would get in, but it was amazing to watch, one, how many people showed up without their kids.
And get turned away.
Get turned away. And then how many people were upset that all the morning sessions were full.
Yeah.
And so when we finally got up there, the young man said, sir, all I have is the afternoon. I'm like, that's perfect. That works great for us. I said, because we already have plans for the morning. And he told me I made his day. So we got that scheduled, ran back over Toy Story Mania. They said it was a 60-minute wait. We waited 78 minutes before we got onto Toy Story Mania.
Ouch.
So it was a little bit of a long wait, but I will say that all the kids loved the ride. We'd never ridden it before. You know, it gets a little slow moving in there. But it was we had a good time. It was a really, really good time. And, you know, we were in our own kind of car thing because they have two cars that sit, you know, four each.
Right, right.
And so they were able to put us all in one.
Oh, nice. So And I'm curious, similarly with Training Academy, because, you know, each Training Academy group, it can't be more than, what, about 15 or so? And you had eight.
Yeah. And so, I only had two of my kids do Training Academy.
Ah, okay. So the whole crew didn't do it.
Right. They were a little bit nervous. You know, I tried to show them some video and stuff. Now, of course, once they all saw it, they immediately wanted me to go sign them up to go do it. And unfortunately, I said, there's no more left.
It's going to have to be next time.
Yeah. We did, we got a Star Tours. Sarah was, that was her favorite ride of the trip because she was the Rebel spy. So she really liked that. We had a really great lunch at Mama Melrose's. We had never eaten there before. Food was really good. They took care of us pretty darn quick. We were able to get in some other stuff like Muppet Vision. And then we finished up the day with, the Jedi Academy.
Okay. Now, let me ask you a little bit about Mama Melrose, because that's come up a couple of times recently in shows, and for a while it was getting knocked pretty hard, but more recent reviews have been, you know, mostly positive, and yours sounded pretty positive. So, you know, I'm curious, what did people have, and who liked what?
Sure. Well, all the kids, most of my kids had spaghetti and meatballs, because they all liked that a lot. Kim had a margarita flatbread pizza.
Okay.
And she said it wasn't bad. I had spaghetti meatballs, but with a three cheese sauce instead of the traditional red sauce. And it was phenomenal. The meatballs were really large, which is sort of the way we make them here at home. So that's kind of the way that we like them.
Right.
I will say at the beginning, I was a little worried about our server, Aaron. He wasn't very engaging. You know, we were asking him some questions. But I think he had just started his shift. And by the end of it, he was very engaging with the kids, and so that helped the experience a little bit.
Sure, sure. Just took him a minute to warm up.
Yeah, because at first we just felt like we were just sitting there, you know. And But the food overall was really, really good. I take it back, two of my kids had mac and cheese. Of course, that's what they get wherever we go.
Okay.
They think the Disney macaroni and cheese is the best in the world. Everyone really enjoyed it. The little bread and the olive oil at the beginning was a huge hit. And then all the kids' meals come with sundaes. And then Kim and I split a dessert, and it was the miniature sampler. So I had a little tiramisu, a little cannoli, and then some kind of chocolate mousse cake.
Okay. Well, that sounds good.
It was awesome. Yeah.
All right. So any other things about Hollywood Studios that, you know, were important to your day? People criticize Hollywood Studios, too, for being a kind of a half-day park. But, you know, you were there at least, you know, to do Training Academy, you know, later in the day in the afternoon. What's your feeling? Was there plenty to do and keep the kids engaged?
Absolutely. We could have stayed longer. You know, again, everyone was getting a little tired. We knew we were leaving the next day. We'd wanted to do animation. I mean, yeah, we left a lot on the table. I mean, to be quite frankly with you, and we could have done Star. There was no wait at any time that we walked by. Was there a wait for Star Tours? The longest wait I saw all day was 20 minutes. So we could have ridden it multiple times. Oh, okay. I personally like Hollywood Studios as an all day park.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the one park where I feel like I can take my time and do a lot. And I don't feel, you know, because if you stroll over to where Tower of Terror and Rock and Roller Coaster are, you can do those, you can do the Bell and Beast show, you know, they had the sing-along in the back now, Muppet Vision, Star Tours. I think it's a more leisurely park in terms of the pace. I didn't feel like we had to run to get anywhere. Except for Jedi Training Academy in the morning. So, yeah. You know, which obviously, yeah, we did. And I will say this, we got there a half hour before park opening, 40 minutes before park opening, and it was crowded. It was really crowded. So there were a lot of people there. Okay. But it didn't feel like that throughout the day.
Okay. Well, that's interesting. I'm sort of, you know, I'm a little bit nervous because my kids love Training Academy, and we're headed back here in, you know, just a little over 2 weeks. And, you know, Training Academy is one of the things that's absolutely on the list of, you know, must-do things. But, you know, we've never had a problem before getting in there and getting them signed up for that. It's like the second show of the day is their favorite, right? They like to do it right early in the morning, get it out of the way, and then, you know, go on and do other things. And what you're describing is making me really nervous about the chances of being able to get that.
Well, I will say that, again, we ran into some of these school groups that were either some kind of sport group, because they all had the same kind of T-shirts, but it had a school name on it.
Okay.
And again, there were like three of them there that were in front of us. And now these were large groups. And what I mean by large is probably 20 to 30 kids.
Okay.
And then corresponding number of adults.
Wow. Yeah, those are big groups.
So, and there was a good number of those that were over there at the Jedi Academy with us.
Okay.
And then we saw a lot of them in line at Toy Story Mania.
I see.
So overall, I don't feel like we had to, I guess I wasn't too concerned about getting in, other than if we would have wanted it in the morning. Then in this case, we wouldn't have gotten it because those groups kind of beat us there.
Right, right.
And my intention wasn't to run over any small children or old women. but when I could see through the gates to see the crowd parting left and right, it was equal, and that kind of scared me because I'm like, I know they're not going to Indiana Jones. So,
right.
You know, it's Jedi Academy and Toy Story Mania, so we just, yeah, you know, that's where we made the decision to split.
All right. Well, that makes a lot of sense then. That I understand what you're saying now. All right. Well, so we're reaching to the sort of the end here of your trip. We're wrapping things up. Anything else sort of before you headed home that bears mentioning?
Well, other than that, you know, we spent a really great last night at the pool. We kids had their first s'mores. They have the marshmallow roasting.
Right.
The campfire.
Yep.
And we had brought chocolate and graham crackers with us. Excuse me, I'm sorry. And we stayed in the pool to absolutely as long as possible and rode the water slide hundreds of times. And again, with those life jackets there at the pool, it's just fantastic. And we literally had the pool to ourselves that night. So it was just a great night and had some zebra domes. And Kim and I sat out on the balcony and shared some wine and made a toast to the Dis Dad Uncles for making all this possible. So it was a really great send-off.
Well, that does sound great, and I think I speak for all of the uncles when I say that, you know, we're thrilled that we played some part in, you know, helping make this happen. And it sounds like you guys had a terrific trip. So, you know,
we did.
It makes it all worthwhile.
Absolutely. And we'll never think, you know, we can't thank you guys enough. It was a fantastic trip. The amount of laughter that we had on this trip was just phenomenal. Something that all the kids, we're still talking about it every day. You know, they'll think about something that they did, you know, or something that they saw, or we watch the slideshow of our photos on a daily basis. They're all doing the little MC shuffle thing from their dance party every day. So I hear, you know, to the left, all the time. So yeah, it was phenomenal, and we're so thankful for you guys.
Wow, that's terrific. Any you know, things, either wrap up comments or things about the travel home that bear mentioning?
It was long. we left Disney World at 9 a.m. and got back to Indianapolis at 3:30 in the morning. So it was a very, very long day. Again, more traffic, a few accidents north of Atlanta. So it was just a long day. But again, the kids did really, really well. And we couldn't have asked for any more from them in terms of how they handled it. On the drive there, on the way back, it was great.
All right. Well, David, you know, thank you so much for coming back on the show and sharing sort of the back end of it and letting us just have a little glimpse into this amazing trip that you and your brood were able to take. You know, it was a lot of fun sharing it with you while you were sort of in progress. But I think in some ways it's even richer to be able to hear the reflections looking back at it.
My name's Olivia, and my other favorite was Splash Mountain.
My name is Simon, and I like Adwan, Test Rock.
My name is Kate, and my other favorite thing was eating at Beer Garden.
My name is Sarah, and I like Toy Story.
My name is Thomas, and another thing I like see the castle.
My name is Maria, and I like meeting Lady Minnie Mouse.
Well, we're so appreciative. Thanks for having me on, and we really enjoyed it. And again, can't ever thank you guys enough.
Well, you know, you'll thank us by coming back and telling us about the next one.
Absolutely. And that's in the plans.
Excellent.
One little spark of inspiration is at the heart of all creation. Right at the start of everything that's new, one little spark lights up for you. Oh, hello there. So glad you could come along. I am the Dream Finder. Musical notes. What delightful melodies those will make. I love these flights of fancy, searching the countryside for sounds, colors, ideas, anything that sparks the imagination. A sunbeam, that's a good one. Everything that I can collect can inspire amazing and marvelous new ideas. And you never know what kind of figment you may come up with. Here's my favorite. Tiny wings, eyes big and yellow, horns of a steer, but a lovable fella. From head to tail, he's royal purple pigment, and there, voila, you've got a figment of imagination.